Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Hello and welcome to The Bistro for the Better Business Bureau. I'm your host, Elaine Espinola. Thank you so much for listening. Children are our future, and now more than ever, it is critical that we support our youth and provide them with the tools they need to be successful in today's global economy. Here to talk about an excellent program called Junior Achievement is Ed Grochalski. He is the Senior Vice President of Brand with Junior Achievement USA. Ed, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Elaine.
This is wonderful. Can you tell our listeners what your program is all about?
Well, Junior Achievement, hopefully your listeners are familiar with the organization. JA has been around since 1919, and originally we started out teaching kids about entrepreneurship, but over the years we've evolved into a program that really focuses on entrepreneurship, work readiness, and financial literacy. And these programs are delivered by nearly 250,000 volunteers a year to 4.8 million kids. And the volunteers are primarily from the business community. And, we do a lot of work in across the United States, and we actually are a global organization now.
Wow, those are pretty impressive statistics. So What age group does Junior Achievement serve? And also, why should the public be aware of this program if they didn't know about it?
Well, we serve kids in grades K through 12, and the reason why this is important, we have a lot of conversations with folks, in the business community, and some of the things that we hear is that, young people are entering the workplace now and lacking some of those critical skills, soft skills that you need to be successful in business, such as collaboration, communication, critical thinking, creativity. And so one of the things that Junior Achievement does is we really help emphasize those soft skills in kids and really help them have a better understanding of, what it takes to be successful in the workplace, as well as how to, responsibly manage money. And if they're interested in starting a business, how you go about doing that.
Wow, that is really wonderful, because we know in school children learn everything they need to know, but then when they get in the real world, these sound like really applicable skills that they need to know so they can succeed in life, period. And also, just with today's kids being so much online, I think teaching them to be collaborative, like you mentioned, and working in groups and things like that, how valuable. So let's talk about some of the statistics. 91% of millennials wish they had greater access to entrepreneurial education programs. And I know you had mentioned that Junior Achievement started out with that in mind. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, absolutely. Well, one of the things that we know from millennials is they have a lot of interest in starting a business, but if you look at the statistics over the years, the level of business creation has actually fallen since the Great Recession. And a lot of it has to do with some risk aversion that millennials have. When they do tackle these kinds of things, they typically want to do it as part of a group. And that kind of comes back to that conversation about the use of social media and online. It's how do you get these kids working together to be more successful in that way? And in terms of what Junior Achievement does is we bring volunteers into the classroom. A lot of them are business owners, and these folks can really help these kids relate to what it takes to start a business, so they really understand what the risk is, and so they're a little bit more comfortable with it. We recently did a survey of JA alumni and found that our alumni are actually 2.5 times more likely to start a business compared to the general population, and a lot of it is because they are introduced to these concepts while they're in school. And I know Gallup has done a lot of research in this area, and they said if a kid has actually tried to start a business before the age of 18, if they've done it more than once, they're much more inclined to end up being a successful entrepreneur later in life. And so we really try to get kids thinking in those terms.
Sure. That's a great statistic. And congratulations on those success rates. That's fantastic. You talked about the volunteers and that they're coming from the business community. Talk to me about how volunteers find you or how you're seeking them. How does that process work?
So the way we work with that is we have 109 offices across the United States, and typically what happens is employers will do a volunteer effort as part of their employee volunteer programs. A lot of businesses have that where they do a day of service, or they their employees have 5, 6, 8 hours during the year they can commit to a community activity. And so we work closely with those businesses to really help get employees involved in some sort of community activity. The way we're structured is we actually have opportunities like what we call a program called JA in a Day, which employees can come in as part of a company in for the day into a school and teach an entire elementary school junior achievement in one day. So it really works within that day of service model a lot of these businesses are using. And then, you know, on top of it, what we find are folks get involved and if they have kids in school, a lot of times they actually want to go back and teach their kids classes as well. So it's been a really good relationship that we've developed with the business community.
That's really awesome. And you just mentioned that programs are sort of in the schools. How is Junior Achievement able to offer these programs specifically in the schools?
So the way we're structured, we have a really great relationship with the education community. We actually started going in schools back in the mid-70s, and so we've got, you know, several decades of experience working with educators. Our programs are aligned with state standards and Common Core, and so, you know, it really helps the teachers and the administrators accomplish their goals. And we also offer the programs free to the schools and to the students, and so we're not going to schools and charging for it. What happens is we get sponsorship primarily from those businesses to help put those programs into the classroom. So we really have a great collaborative relationship with the schools and, you know, as well as being able to make those connections with our business partners.
That is wonderful. Let's say there's someone listening right now and Junior Achievement currently isn't in their school. How would they go about reaching out to find out how to make that possible?
Well, one way you can go is if you go to our website at ja.org, there's a directory there on, you know, where you can find Junior Achievement near you. And, you know, the recommendation would be reach out to your local Junior Achievement office and see if they can provide programs to that school. You know, typically what happens is our offices have a really great relationship with the school districts. Sometimes there's a school within that district that doesn't have it just because there hasn't been a request previously. And so, you know, if there's an opportunity to reach out and say, you know, I really want to find out how I can get, you know, this community school involved with it and work with the JA office. And, you know, hopefully they're able to, you know, set that up for those people who are interested in it.
Wonderful. So if you're listening right now and you feel like you can volunteer, reach out. Or if you are a parent and you wish that a program like this was at your school, perhaps go to the website, like Ed just mentioned, and look into how you can start to make that process happen. So, Ed, we talked about some of the programs that you have. I know one of them is Junior Achievement B Entrepreneurial Program. You talked about another one. What are some of the other programs that the children can take?
Yeah, we have a wide variety of programs. You know, like I said, in the elementary school programs, we have they're called JAR Selves, JAR City, JAR Family, or a whole bunch of different topics where, you know, a volunteer can go in and teach 5 sessions. And so either, they're typically 35 to 45 minutes. That can be done in a day as part of JA in a day or over several weeks. Then we, at the middle school level, we get a little bit more into the work readiness financial literacy piece. And those programs may be a little bit longer, may go up to 9 weeks. And so we help, you know, kids understand there's a program called JA It's My Business where we get into all kinds of entrepreneurial concepts in the middle school grades. We also have programs that we call capstone facilities. And these are actually JA Finance Park and JA Biztown. They're almost like mini cities. They're their own facilities that are set up in about 30 communities across the country. And kids actually do some classroom preparation and they go in and basically have a job for the day.
Wow.
So they can be the mayor of the city, they can run the car dealership, they can, you know, so it really emphasizes, you know, all three aspects that we talk about, the entrepreneurship, the financial literacy, and the work readiness. It's a really popular program that we have. And then, you know, in addition, we have our traditional JA Company program, which is that really gives kids a chance to start a business over the course of a year. And then also JA Job Shadow, where kids go into the workplace and are able to shadow mentors in the workplace. So we have a lot of different programs that kind of approach these things from different ways, but you know, we've had a lot of great success engaging kids in those.
Yeah, well, I'm loving everything that you're saying. I wish I was in a Junior Achievement program when I was younger, and I'm starting to think, wow, how can I get this in the elementary school near me? These sound like such valuable lessons and programs. So about how many students are reached each year through Junior Achievement programs across the country?
So we reach 4.8 million in total. About 1.5 million of those are in the middle and high school grades. And you know, we really have a broad base of kids. So we reach kids in you know, the inner city. We reach them in the suburban communities. We even reach them in some rural areas. So we really make the program available to all kids that we can reach.
Wow. So once again, if someone's listening and they are intrigued, they want to get involved in Junior Achievement, what is your website one more time?
It's ja.org.
Okay, wonderful. Now, I'd like to know, so we've got some probably parents listening right now, and of course this program is geared towards children. Can you share some tips for the everyday family on how they can help educate their children on financial literacy?
Well, it's interesting. We just did a survey with Jackson Charitable Foundation and found out that about 70-some percent of parents think that, you know, really talking about money and financial literacy should start in the home. And so that's really where a lot of these first lessons happen with kids. And obviously there's certain things like, you know, the question we always get is, you know, should kids have an allowance? And, you know, we basically our recommendation is it's a really good opportunity to teach kids money management. You know, you can take that opportunity to show them how to save for something larger that they want so they just don't take their money each week and just spend it on something they can put some aside. The question always comes, you know, do you tie it to chores, to, you know, to jobs, things like that. You know, we typically recommend that you have some sort of earned aspect to that. You know, there are certain things that you do as part of the family, for instance. So, you know, if it's your job to wash the dishes or whatever, maybe that's not necessarily tied to the money, but if it's mowing the lawn or doing some other things that are kind of above and beyond, then you tie that back to that allowance piece. And that's a really good way to get kids thinking about money because it's that interactive hands-on activity that really gets them thinking. You know, we actually just did a video with it's actually a six-year-old student of ours out in Southern California, and we call her J.A. Kidd Professor. And one of the things we did is her mom gave her $20, and she went to a grocery store and said, buy groceries for the family. And she ended up loading up on candy. Had to go back and get, you know, fruits and vegetables and things like that. So that's another example of, you know, a common everyday thing that folks do if you're going out to the grocery store to shop. Maybe give your kids a little bit of money to shop and just see what they purchase and talk to them about what their decisions were. And so those are one of the things that we would recommend that parents take a look at doing.
That's awesome. I personally feel that there's nothing more important and impressionable on children than experiential learning like what you're talking about. Here's $20. Go to the store. You're going to get stuff for the family and then see what happens. And oh, by the way, they'll learn real quick sort of the consequences, if you will. They won't be severe or serious, but you come home with candy, that's not going to work.
Right.
And it
right.
gets them really thinking about what the value of a dollar is and the rest of the family, and can we sustain ourselves on candy? I don't think so. But
yeah.
Until you give your child that opportunity, they just don't know, right?
No.
They watch
you do
it, and they just don't realize the responsibility aspect of it. So, Ed, what advice could you give for parents with older kids?
Well, we've done a lot of research with high school age kids, and what we find is they've got a lot of questions about money. It comes down to buying a car, saving for college. And so one of the things that's important is to really have those conversations with kids about those kinds of things. You know, going to college, especially if they're taking out student loans, will be the second largest investment kids will make in their lifetime. And a lot of times they're 17 years old, 18 years old, and making this decision. So it's really important for parents to be involved in that conversation. And from the perspective of JA, we actually have a free resource called JA Build Your Future, where it's an app where kids can actually go through the process of selecting a degree, seeing what the potential income is going to be, and really make some informed decisions about how much debt they want to take on as part of their college education experience.
Thank you for sharing that. That's another really great, important point. I mean, of course, if you want to encourage your children to go to college and then you don't really talk about the finances until they're a senior in high school, that is kind of overwhelming, especially if you're expecting that child to take out some loans. And or as the parent, if you're paying for it, still you want your child to understand the value of what's about to happen in this very large investment. So that's great advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. Ed, I want to thank you so very much for joining us today on The Bistro.
Thank you, Elaine. Thanks for having us.
Sure. You have provided a lot of great information, and I hope our listeners go to your website to learn more and get involved and get their children involved. You know, the Better Business Bureau is deeply committed to building and advancing a better marketplace, a trusted marketplace for all, because trust always matters. For the Better Business Bureau and as your host of The Bistro, I'm Elaine Espinola, and I thank you for listening, and I encourage you to give us your feedback on this episode. Until next time, it's been my pleasure discussing better business with you.
You just enjoyed the Bistro podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com, and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.